you said that the love of rock was there before, and this is something that I do tend to ask pretty much everybody I interview, but it's because I can remember the first time I saw rock and roll on TV, and I was about 3 or 4 years old, and that shaped everything. It made me want to play guitar, it made me want to be in a band, it made me want to do this. It made me want to be a rock star. Well, I've got some of it, but not that bit. But anyway, but I can remember that. Can you sort of put a finger on the point where you say, yeah, it was seeing that band or hearing that music that made me go, yeah, that's what I want to do?
Ooh, I think this might have happened before I was old enough to recall it.
Mm-hmm.
Because my mother has always been listening to classical music, and my father has always been listening to the Dire Straits, the Doors, Deep Purple, Pink Floyd,
mm-hmm.
you know, stuff like that. So basically, growing up, I already had the crossover.
Yeah.
So for me, there's no really like, bam, this is it. When I was younger, I was a huge fan of Whitney Houston.
Uh-huh.
I was totally in awe by what she could do with her voice. And I do remember being very little and singing her songs and just dreaming of being on stage like her. Later on, obviously, I was inspired by Tarja. And those two have played a big role in my life.
What sort of ambition do you have for the band now? You know, do you still see it as being, we want to do this, we want to reach this level? Or do you just say, right, we're doing what we love and hopefully everybody else is taking us with them?
Yes, definitely the last bit. I don't believe that setting goals, like really business-like goals, will make anyone happy, especially in music where everything should be about passion. I also feel that, oh, we want to reach this goal because that we say that we've accomplished this or that. It's not a pure way to be in music, and it's kind of, yeah, lying to your fans.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not lying, but yeah, I, as a listener, would feel a bit betrayed because it's not about the music then anymore, is it?
And when you're involved in, you know, coming up with a new album, where do the ideas come from for the songs and the melodies?
Well, for this album, we really worked with three of us, and the three of us being Michael Hoybaum,
mm-hmm.
Joost van den Broek, who is the producer of our album, but also a co-writer,
mm-hmm.
And myself. So the three of us really set out write songs, and then from a very early stage on, focused on the vocals.
Yeah.
So that on this album, my voice would really have the, well, center stage, be in the spotlight the best it can be.
Mm.
For Sacrificium, we didn't have that chance because everything was already written when I joined. And I think we still did a pretty good job.
Mm-hmm.
But this album, vocal-wise, is just so much stronger because everything's just in position as it should be. Philip joined us a few times in the studio where we would give his do's and don'ts on the guitar parts, and obviously Garrett and Stephen did too, and we went into pre-production where I basically already sang every song to really try out if it did work, if we needed to change any keys. You will find that this album has a lot of different keys to previous albums where they were much more guitar oriented and now much more vocal oriented.
Mm. How do the guitarists feel about that, given that guitarists are notoriously desperate for spotlights, he says as a guitar player?
You asked a very good question. Well, it's a good thing that we get along so well.
Mm.
So you can also be honest to one another.
Yeah.
Well, it's you know, you have to combine it. Obviously, we cannot do a key that really doesn't work for a guitar and only works on me. It's a compromise.
Yeah.
I think we worked that out quite well. Though sometimes it needed some convincing.